It is Friday, January 17th. Let's talk PlayStation. Boy, oh boy, was this an interesting week. So starting off, as always, our PlayStation Plus reminder, the January titles are Uncharted the Nathan Drake Collection and Ghost Simulator. Plenty of time to download these games or add them to your library. I want to start with E3 2020. If you didn't see, we did an impromptu news update video on Monday discussing the rumor that Sony was going to be skipping E3 2020. Those sources were true. That's why we held that conversation, because just after Sony confirmed they will be skipping the trade show again this year, citing that they don't feel the E3 vision aligns with their goals, and that they will instead do hundreds of consumer-focused events throughout the year as they build up to the launch of PlayStation 5 and even covering their plans and what they're doing with PlayStation 4. So what I said in the Monday video, for the most part, pretty much still holds true, although we now have the confirmation that this is actually happening. And, you know, it's definitely made a bit of a quite the conversation around this topic. People understandably very upset, and I get that. The thing is, as much as people have been talking about how E3 is becoming irrelevant and it's this weird thing now, I totally see the ploy that most people have when they say, you know, E3 is like the Super Bowl of games. They love how it comes around every year. They love the conferences. They love the announcements. I'm right there with you. I grew up playing games just like everybody else and watched the shows. I love that aspect of it as well. So I can see how it's disappointing, although there is still this pretty big disconnect of where, you know, fans like that part, but then people that are actually involved in the industry go to the show every year, work it every year, have not only been upset with what E3 has become, but rather it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And it has been in history for the past few years now that it really is true to that effect. And many publishers have either been leaving the show, doing it on their own terms. Sony left last year. That was partly because they just had nothing to show. But now we know that, Sony in all likelihood really just does not like what E3's been doing lately. And even then, to be honest, there was a comment that Sean Layden made, 2 years ago, maybe it was during PSX, I don't remember where he said this, but it was a matter of when Sean Layden was with the company, he mentioned how E3, he didn't like where it was going either, basically. He used some sort of metaphor about how it's in the middle of the road, about to get hit by two cars. Now, Sean's left the company, but you would have to assume that many people at the company felt that E3 not really having some good press lately. And so when Sony says they're going to be doing more consumer-focused shows, that could be a number of things. That could be things like PAX, Gamescom, still TGS, Comic-Con, the PlayStation Bus Tour. So some people don't know about this, but Sony likes to hold a bus tour where they just cart around a bunch of PS4s, let people try some upcoming PS4 games, PSVR. I'm sure that'll be the case. They also every so often do retail stuff where they have demo units at Best Buys and all that. So I'm sure you're going to see a healthy mix of that. And for those that don't know why E3 has this bad rap nowadays when it comes to people involved in the industry, it's because, well, quite frankly, E3 was always a show for the press and investors and for trading, actual talk between publishers and retail. You know, that just doesn't happen anymore. Watch an E3 conference from 10 years ago, and it's a lot of technical talk. It's a lot of numbers talk. It's actually kind of boring and very much feels like you're in a boardroom meeting. And it has become this showcase mostly for fans. They let the public go there now. That makes it more difficult for people that are trying to actually work the show. And vice versa from that, E3 has a very low attendance compared to something like Gamescom or Comic-Con. I mean, those numbers are far beyond what you see at E3, but that's partly because E3 has always been a show just for journalists and people working the show. But that's where the disconnect is. It's like slowly moving towards that, but yet there's still a little bit of the stuff that E3 was always known for. Just that's why so many people don't really like it nowadays. So I'm guessing Sony's going to do the big consumer-oriented stuff. This doesn't mean we're not getting press conferences anymore. Sony still holds their own events. They can rent their own space whenever they need to. They've done that. So we'll probably see stuff like that, especially for a PS5 reveal when they're ready. I can see how people are disappointed, but that's just where Sony falls on the topic right now. And this isn't isolated to Sony. I mean, Nintendo has separated themselves from E3. I mean, they do stuff during E3, right? But they don't show up there in a big way anymore. And same with Microsoft, even. Microsoft, yeah, they're committed to E3, but even just last year, one, the press conferences are always off-site. But two, I believe Microsoft didn't even really have any floor space. I believe they held all their hands-on demos in another space, like next to E3 or something like that. And a lot of publishers are finding it just better to do something on their own just during the same time frame of E3, right? This is really kind of a thing that ESA has to deal with. I know people like to say that this is a problem for Sony. It was a problem with Nintendo. Microsoft's certainly going to capitalize on it this year. Great for them. But it really is a thing where the manufacturers, the publishers, the people that make games, they're going to be fine. It's the ESA that really has to figure out what they want to do with the show to keep it relevant. Next up, we have an update on Horizon Zero Dawn coming to PC. You remember this rumor, right? Well, this one, now much more credible. This is coming from Jason Schreier from Kotaku. He has excellent sources in the industry. He never really runs a story unless he has a good idea that it actually is happening. So he ran with the story. The rumor is that the game will come to PC at some point in the summer or something like that, I believe. But let's recap the timeline of this rumor. Originally, it came from a Russian YouTuber, very notable, apparently very credible. And I think I and a lot of people didn't really know how credible. But when I did the Let's Talk PlayStation covering that rumor, I did say unlikely, but I still played devil's advocate as to if this happened, here's why it would happen. Now, after that Let's Talk PlayStation, I was reached out to by an individual who basically said, you know, you can trust this guy. Also, I have a source. Here's a number of things that are going to be happening. And then a lot of those things ended up playing out, not the Horizon Zero Dawn one, but that led me to believe that, okay, well, it looks like this might actually be happening. So in a follow-up Let's Talk PlayStation, I believe, I cautioned that, hey, this might actually happen. Or rather, I think I cautioned it after the announcement that it was coming to PlayStation Now. Because then so many people came out of the woodwork going, oh, well, there you go. There's your Horizon on PC. And I said, well, clearly that's not what the rumor was suggesting. It wasn't the game being available on PlayStation Now. I'm cautioning everyone this might actually end up happening. Now, it's not confirmed, but quite frankly, if Jason's running with the story, I think this is definitely probably happening. And so there you go. This is a pretty big deal. We've seen Sony really testing the waters with PC releases for a very long time now, from small-scale games, a lot of small-scale games actually over and over again. Then we started to see some bigger stuff, Detroit Become Human being a notable one. Then, you know, Death Stranding had that whole fiasco, but that's a second-party game. The contract was there for a while now. We covered that. MLB was the recent one, but that's the MLB license. You can kind of see where Sony was tied up there. And now we have a really good example where this is a major first-party Sony, brand new Sony IP, by the way, in 2017, did incredibly well. It's done by Guerrilla. The game looks fantastic. It's a great game. Everybody loves it. Sold 10 million copies, and now it is leaving the PlayStation ecosystem by Sony's choice. We always have to remember this when it comes to any manufacturer, when it's their IP. If they let it go, they let it go, and they're reaping the rewards every time they make a software sale. So that's what's happening here. And to be honest, the devil's advocate that I kept playing originally is probably what's happening here. The game's lived a full life cycle on PS4. It sold over 10 million copies. And it's just a matter of, hey, let's just continue this test bed that we've been doing. Let's put another game out there on PC natively, see another 3-4 million copies of the game getting sold. That'll probably happen, right? It's a very good game, and a lot of PC gamers now have access to what is a really incredible title, and it's more money in Sony's pocket. So I know so many PlayStation fans get really worked up about this, and it's the same thing of, you know, Xbox coming to the conversation, look at what Xbox is doing, and they suck, blah, blah, blah. You know, I hate getting into that narrative, and I have told many of you for a while now, when it comes to either Microsoft or Sony, whenever they make a software sale, that's money in their pocket. And in the future, as we go further and further into this growing industry, and we're in this landscape of options where we have crossplay now, but we also have streaming options, digital options, disc-based options, there's a lot where you can have access to your games, remote play, xCloud. There's so much going on right now, and there's really no general sense of the direction of where we're headed to just yet. Admittedly, everyone keeps saying streaming. That is probably a more long-term future, but right now we are in a land of options. But again, it's the software stuff too. When you make a software sale, it doesn't, you know, that's what people seem to really forget here. And I've said it for the longest time with Microsoft. I never said it was a bad thing with Microsoft. Whenever they sell an Xbox game, it doesn't matter where they sold it. It's their IP, and that's money in their pocket. That's great for them. You know, it's not bad news. I know people want PlayStation to be this brand. They want it to be this console that lives on, and it will be. That's the really weird thing. So with all that said, what does this mean if it ends up being true? Well, to be honest, not nearly as much, I think, as people are making it out to be. It's big news, but I would say it's much more megaton worthy if, let's say, a game, a first-party Sony IP came out day and date on PS5, let's say, and PC. That's much more telling. But that's not what we're looking at right now. We're looking at a 2017 game that's sold well enough on PS4 that's going to come to PC, and that's more money in Sony's pockets. right? It seems pretty obvious that Sony still wants to release their big budget IP first on PlayStation 5 moving forward. And Sony's not dumb. They still want to sell you PS5 hardware. They haven't lost sight of that. They're a multi-billion dollar company. Of course they want to sell you a PS5. And they'll probably do that with exclusive PlayStation 5 games. It'd be a big conversation if it was day and date. And whenever that day comes, because it probably will at some point. I don't think it's anytime soon, but it might happen eventually. And that'll be a conversation as well. But, you know, it's just something that the manufacturers are looking forward to. When you look at the PSN revenue, when you look at software revenue, I mean, the money's not in hardware. And actually, I think I should just start talking about the next news story, which is, well, first, Jason Schreier followed up on this article stating that he doesn't think this is the only game. And then Tom Phillips over at Eurogamer also tweeted out, basically sneakily referencing that Dreams will also be a title coming to PC. And I want to go on the record to say that when Sean Layden made those comments that they may have to lean on more platforms for some of their first-party IP, I said Dreams would be an excellent example of that, right? That's a very niche title, caters to a very specific type of gamer, and the PC audience would love that game. And I like Media Molecule. I love Dreams. I love what they're doing. And I'm really worried about that studio because they spent how much money on making Dreams. And this game is surely not going to see a return. Not soon. If they plan on supporting it for as long term as they say they're going to, then maybe once they start really fleshing out this idea of monetizing created content, you know, pushing a single player campaign, maybe start doing a little bit of marketing for it. But we might not even see marketing for Dreams, really, because it's one of those games. Like, it's like Concrete Genie. Like, it's probably not going to get much attention out of Sony itself. But giving it a wider audience is going to help them stay relevant. Remember, Media Molecule didn't release like any, well, what they did Tearaway on PS4, right? I think they did that in-house. Otherwise, they did the Vita version and they did the PS4 version in-house. But for all the PS4's life cycle, we have not gotten a game out of them. They've been doing Dreams this whole time. That's a huge financial commitment. So Dreams is a great example. So that's the news story as well. So that Dreams is being teased as being a title that's also up on the block of getting a PC release. Moving on, we've got what appears to be a PlayStation 5 console design, an actual picture. Now, let me just preface this by stating there is a very specific reason why I have never used, I think I might have once or twice, but for the most part, you all know, I don't use mock-up pictures of PS5 at all in thumbnails or in news stories or even as B-roll. I always just put the logo on there, blur a PS4 or something to give the illusion of the console, but I don't do any of the mock-up stuff. The only time I'll really ever cover the console's mystery design is if it actually is the console design that we're really looking at here, right? And now this, I don't think is true. So let's just go over the history of this image right now. It's getting attention because it was posted from the same Twitter account that leaked the PS5, the very clear PS5 dev kit images. But this goes back to a 4chan post. And then that same 4chan thread, there was a long-winded rumor regarding PS5 plans. And I didn't even go over them because they're literally the things we've been discussing for how long now. So that means anybody could have wrote them up. PS5 event in February, backwards compatibility for all these PlayStation consoles, which we know that's really far-reaching. We've discussed that plenty of times. There's nothing really in there. In fact, I think at one point they mentioned E3. Now, we know Sony's not going to be at E3 now, so that we can dump that whole thing out of the water. But at the very least, this is a picture. This is the first actual picture that tries to convey that, hey, this might be the actual final hardware design, which, if we want to talk about it, just looks like a slanted PS4 Slim. Really bizarre. Or no, they took the top portion of it and they turned it like they almost like they're twisting it off like an Oreo to get to the cream center, right? That's what it looks like. It looks really weird. Now, I don't think it's the real thing, but I will always be pretty agnostic when it comes to these kinds of images for one reason only, and that's that these things actually leak like this more often than you think. This is how we got PS4 Slim, PS3 Slim, and PS3 Super Slim leaked on the internet. Very blurry images that people initially said, that looks weird, that looks ugly, there's no way that's the next PlayStation, and it was. So I don't think that's the real thing. I'm sure if you really sourced it, it's complete BS. In fact, it looks like that Chinese console called I don't even know the name, Zobus or Robus or something like that. I don't think that's the real console design, but This is more of a news story of like, hey, we might get things like this coming out. And I would say don't immediately write them off. Like, there's a lot of very obvious mock-ups, but when you get one that's like blurry and like just plausible enough, it's like, all right, well, wait and see. You never know. For our next news story, Sony's holding an experience PlayStation event in New York City. Runs from January 14th to February 16th. You can show up, play some games, PS4, PSVR, all that stuff. I'm seeing a lot of people say maybe this is the PS5 reveal. No. So the thing about this is that when we get a PlayStation 5 reveal, you'll know. It'll be pretty obvious. They'll make a big stink about it. You know, there's going to be a bunch of press invites. We're going to get an exact date, an exact time, promise of a live stream. You're going to know, right? This just sounds very much like a public event. Maybe there's like crossover because it's running all the way till February 16th. So maybe at the tail end of this event, they'll, you know, do something PS5 related near the end of it. That's assuming that the reveal event is before February 16th. But yeah, this actual whole event is not related to PlayStation 5, at least right now for what it appears. Now, will the PS5 reveal actually be in February? I know a lot of people toss around February, but to be fair, no one actually really knows that. It's just a very heavy rumor that I think just keeps getting conjured up more and more by everyone saying it's February. Well, at the very least, we have two little small instances that we can discuss. Patrick Klepek over on the Waypoint Radio podcast said that there's a lot of big things coming out of Sony next month. Then he quickly took that back over on Reset Era, stating, if I didn't write it in an article, then it's not. Don't take it as fact. So he did dial back right away, but Patrick Klepek, very credible, broke a lot of really good news stories throughout the years. I'll always remember him for breaking out the Xbox One reversing the DRM policies. News story way back in the day, but he also covered a lot of other big ones as well, like the 2010 Call of Duty fiasco with Infinity Ward. And, well, the other example we have is Jeff Keighley tweeting out that he got an insanely interesting call or something like that. He said he got a really cool call recently. Very cryptic. The tweet got like 7,000 likes, people saying, oh my God, it's a PS5. And then Tom Warren replied from The Verge, saying, is it something in February? Now, Tom Warren actually covering a lot of Microsoft stuff recently, so keep in mind, this doesn't necessarily have to be PS5 related. Could be Microsoft related, could be nothing. Tom could be trolling. Take all these little things for what they are. I know it's like, it's crazy, right? We're in mid-January, and this is how excited people are to get that announcement that is, we don't have to wait that long, but people are just so psyched about it. Moving on, the official PlayStation France website, and let me say that again, the official PlayStation France website has a page for PS4 Slim versus PS4 Pro, some, you know, metrics and whatnot, and under DualShock compatibility, there's DS4 and DS5, presumably DualShock 5, which, even though it's an acronym, this is really the first time the company's directly referenced the controller being called DualShock 5, which, and I don't really know why they do this stuff. I know it's very precautionary and there's a lot of legal liability here if they don't have the name 100% secured or whatever, but yeah, they don't ever call the controller DualShock 5 just yet, same like they took their time before they called it PS5. But it's also notable that the DualShock 5 or the PS5 controller will be compatible on PlayStation 4. So it's good that there's a bit of back and forth there. If you don't want to buy a PS5 right away and you like what the controller ends up looking like, you can just buy a controller and use that for the time being until you're ready to upgrade to a PS5. And keeping with the controller news, we also have a new patent from Sony Interactive Entertainment, and this one is for a Siri-like voice command mode directly built into the controller, so no direct references to DualShock 5 or anything like that, but it's this open-ended patent basically saying you could speak into your controller and give commands that way. And there is also a bunch of related patents we discussed a while ago that Sony wants to do an app that also takes voice commands, and they want to build a virtual AI that can search things for you or display things from your phone to the map in the game, so there's developer support on that level. But Sony's obviously taking voice commands to a much bigger level, well, at least in R&D. We don't know if it's going to be a real thing that ends up being a consumer-facing feature on PS5, but they are exploring it. I mean, there's plenty of voice commands on PS4 right now, although they're very crude. You need a plugged-in mic, but they may be taking it to the next level on PS5. Okay, with all that done, let's finally get to Let's Talk Plus, the weekly Let's Talk PlayStation giveaway, where one of you can win a $10 PSN code, and I'd like to congratulate this viewer right here. I'll be contacting you very soon via email or Twitter. If you would like to win a $10 PSN code, it's very simple. We do this every single week on Let's Talk PlayStation. Follow the link down below to the Gleam website. Supporting this channel, a number of ways can gain you an entry, and the winner will be announced next week. those are all the news stories that I want to talk about with you all. We had a much different pace this past week. Impromptu news video on Monday about the E3 stuff, which you don't need to see now. But we did still have a good conversation regarding Series X. Microsoft said there will be no Series X exclusive games. They'll also support Xbox One with first-party titles for at least a year to 2 years. So a very good conversation there. Then on Wednesday, we had a more laid-back video. Just me going through my PS4 dynamic menu. The games I've installed, trophies, my gaming habits the past few years. Very, very casual conversation. We'll do more stuff like that eventually as well. So that was a very fun one to do. This Tuesday, though, very excited about this one. I won't mention what it is on the off chance that it won't be ready in time. I think it will, but I'm very excited about Tuesday. So you're going to want to stay tuned for that video. And that's it. That concludes this week's episode of Let's Talk PlayStation. I'm Ryan Benecke. Thank you all so much for talking with me, and I will see you all next Friday.